Please turn over to the first epistle of John. That's 1 John. By God's word, we know that God is pure love. And he loves us with an agape love. In his word, we learn that his love is superior to any love that we may know in the natural. And God's love is eternal, isn't it? It's long-suffering. It's everlasting. It's consistent, enduring, unmovable. It's tender. It's merciful. God is slow to anger. He's quick to forgive. His love is undeniable. It's unwavering. It's incapable of failing. It is limitless. It's not bound by time. It's unconditional. It's immeasurable. And we could go on and on and on. See, God's love is perfect. And because Christ now dwells in us and Christ is in the Father, his perfect love also dwells in you and me, doesn't it? Isn't that amazing? So if you're there in 1 John, in chapter 4, I noted right above this chapter, I wrote the words, the full overcoming love chapter. By God's love in us, we are more than conquerors. And because we are conquerors in Christ, we have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing. So now that you're there in the fourth chapter of 1 John, let's just read three little verses, starting with verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So because I know that he is for me in every possible way, I don't fear what man can do to me, and I don't fear of my eternal destiny. As for running the race, I don't run the race course that he has placed me on to win Christ as my bridegroom out of fear that I may not win him. On the contrary, I run with confidence in him that he will perfectly prepare me, and he is preparing me to meet him, perhaps today, face to face. Take, for example, a young woman who has been dating a young man, and he proposes to her. After she accepts his proposal and says, "Yes, I will marry you." Those of you who are here, who are listening, you young women who are married, what was your all-consuming thought from that day forward? I mean, sure, you had to go about your daily routine. You perhaps had a job, or maybe you were in school or whatever. But what was consuming your thought day and night? It was your wedding day. The day that she would be joined together as one in holy matrimony with the one man who loves her completely. She prepares herself for that wedding day, doesn't she? There's a lot to get ready for. But she is confident. I'm his, he's mine. She trusts him with her whole heart. She does not fear that she will fail him. She does not fear that he will fail her. She knows he loves her only. She's 100% confident that he will not rescind his marriage proposal. She does not desire to date other men. And that's symbolic of the world. She looks forward to being joined together, one with him, as one flesh, as long as they both shall live. In the case of Jesus, that's for all eternity. How much more are we to trust the heart of our precious bridegroom, Jesus? See, Jesus never fails. He cannot fail. He will not fail. You know, precious hearts, again, Paul wrote of running the race to win Christ as his prize. Paul did not run out of fear of not winning. He ran with a purpose. He ran with a vision and with the complete confidence that he would win by the Spirit's enabling. And likewise, we're not to run the race out of fear of not winning. Remember, perfect love casts out all fear. I was watching television, and maybe you've been watching the Olympics. Thursday night, they had the ladies' figure skating long program finals. And we all know who won. I believe you've been following the news. And what I found interesting was, as they were, all these other ladies were getting ready to go out onto the ice, they had been preparing their whole lives. But you could see, to varying degrees, there was some fear in their faces. They were afraid of failing. They were afraid they wouldn't win. But then here's this young lady from Oakland, California, 20 years old. Boy, she's bouncing around. She's happy-go-lucky, you know. And then she gets out on that ice. It was extraordinary. If you haven't seen it, watch it. She skated so freely, so passionately, joyfully, unfettered, confidently, fearlessly. That's how we're to run. We have an expectation. We have a promise. Perfect love can't break a promise. You know, we also read in Scripture like the lily. You know, the lily doesn't strive to be a lily, doesn't strive to be beautiful. It just is what God made it. A fish doesn't try to swim. A bird doesn't try to fly. They do what they do because that's who God made them. Our new nature is in Christ. That's who he has made us. Christ in us, we don't try. We just simply allow. We just reckon that old man dead, consider him dead. Don't go back. It's like the fiance. She doesn't want to date other men. Her focus is on her husband. You know, remember, as I've said before, the enemy can only appeal to our old Adamic nature. Reckon him dead. He will lie, he will try, but he can't change that which God has already made you. You know, we simply are who God created us to be and has called us to be. He's called us to be Jesus' bride. That's who you are. Isn't that marvelous? I don't have the words to express what freedom we have in knowing who we are now in Christ Jesus. I just don't have the capability. I don't. You know, I think about, we've heard before, and about, you know, the moonlight. The moon doesn't produce light. The moon just reflects it. It's the light of the sun that's hitting the moon and reflecting back. It's kind of like our love. Our love for him should be a mirror image of his love for us. The only thing we should be looking forward to is meeting him face to face. Everything else is a big distraction. Don't get caught up in it, please. Even so, Lord, come quickly. God bless you this morning.